Hello there, and welcome to Pink Milk, where we talk Star Wars queerly, or in today's case, where we talk Willow queerly, which is a very, very queer show. I'm your host, Brian, and you, my friends, are about to listen to a snippet from our latest live stream, Pink Milk After Dark, where Chase, Emma, and myself usually take deep dives into Star Wars. However, this last few weeks, we've been deep diving into Willow, and it's been a really, really wonderful time. This week, we had a wonderful, wonderful conversation because Emma and myself were both not exactly gigantic fans of this episode. Still good fans of the show, but this episode didn't exactly hit for us. And Chase, our dear friend Chase, came in with really, really wonderful perspective. And it's one of the things that I most love about what we do at Pink Milk, where all opinions are valid. We can have constructive conversations and really listen to different perspectives that may not be our own. And I think a lot of that is because none of us are interested in changing anyone's minds. And that's really kind of the heart of all of After Dark, is just to have true conversations, speak from our heart for the sake of sharing things that we enjoyed or things that, you know, we maybe didn't totally love, but is in a world that we really enjoy. And we just listen to one another without any purpose to change anyone. And I think it's really healthy. I love doing it. And I love our Steam Queens who do the same thing right in the chat room. If you're there during the live show, the Steam Queens are very, very similar. And it's really, really wonderful. And I'm very appreciative. I love that our listeners have let us dive into Willow. It's been a lot of fun. It's been interesting to talk about something other than Star Wars, because truth be told, I don't watch a lot of non-Star Wars stuff because I don't generally watch a ton of TV. And it's been a bit of a challenge, but it's been a great deal of fun. So thank you for that. And, you know, I also want to send a special thank you to Jen, who just joined our Patreon. So thank you, Jen. That brings us up to 25 people at $118 a month. So thank you for supporting our show. Thank you for supporting what we do. Thank you for all the lovely well wishes. If you are interested in Patreon, check the show notes below for our link. $5 a month gets you a whole host of things, including our Discord to our private club, commentary tracks. Soon it will be the only place to see these live streams post going live. We're going to be doing some switcheroos here for the new year as we start year number 3 at Pink Milk. 3 years. It's great. Also, Tom and I are going to be doing a live video exclusive to Patreon. So that will be not a live, like live, but like you'll be able to see us interacting here in my office. And trust me, my husband is very handsome. So I would say listen to him, watching him for 30 minutes a week is well worth $5. So anyways, thank you for all of you who are there on Patreon supporting us already. If you're interested, like I said, check the show notes below. We would love to have you. And without further ado, to take after my friend Chase and their channel, That Gay Jedi, check it out if you haven't already. Without further ado, let's get into this episode, shall we? Let's drink up.
Fuck. the action scenes. It feels very like kids in the backyard. North Carolina.
I would argue that's somewhat of the point. I think it's just Willow, the movie has so many action scenes that last so long, and they kind of come out of nowhere and they throw the pacing off. That is what the movie was like. You know what I mean? I think it's just in its nature to do that and to have action scenes randomly kind of thrown in that maybe lasts a little bit longer than you want. But that's kind of why I find it endearing. I find so much charm in this show because it knows exactly where it comes from. It knows itself. And I find that to be so disarming while watching it. I think it's why I'm so not forgiving, but none of it bothers me because I'm like, damn, like she knows who she is. And I love that for her. I'm telling you guys, I don't know what it is about Willow, but like I feel it coursing through my veins. And I didn't grow up watching Willow. Like I did not grow up watching Willow, but for some reason it's like I don't know. I feel like we're little sisters. We're sisters.
Yeah, Tet's with me. They say North Carolina is too accurate.
I agree. Also, isn't there something to be said for the fact that you felt that action sequence was a bunch of kids playing in a backyard? Like, there's something about the show that has a childlike innocence that is captured through its action, which, by the way, is also bloody to an extent, but like violent, like people die. You know what I mean? So I think that's a really interesting thing that we don't see a lot anymore, where it's like people are getting stabbed and losing it, but at the same time there's something about like that you just kind of feel like you feel like a kid, you feel like you're watching kids. There's just such a wonder to it.
Yeah, I'm with you, especially like when you were mentioning how it knows exactly what it is and it embraces that. Like I feel like it's also a very queer show, so that's great. And I like that forgive me. I was listening to some talk on libraries pulling out queer books today. So maybe I'm a little feisty about it anyways. But like, I love a very queer show being able to be exactly what it is.
Right. Yeah.
If that makes sense. And I like I agree with you. I like the childhood and the child aspect, especially with the book opening at the beginning. It feels very like we're whisked away. It feels very Wizard of Oz. And I am a gigantic fan of the Oz books, the original ones by Baum. A lot. It does have those vibes. Okay.
Well, and
I'll give you that. Emma, what about you?
Sorry. I'm just not feeling the show, you guys.
And that's okay.
And I'm so
that's okay.
No, I'm so bummed because you know what? I'm just gonna like put on my positivity hat and I'm just gonna think like it was
the positivity crown of flowers.
Exactly. And like it was just this one episode and I'm so disappointed in myself because
you're not alone.
Yes. Listen, before you finish, I just want to say I think it's really cool that we can all come here and just be honest with the media that we're all experiencing, because we're all going to experience it in different ways.
Yes.
It's a spectrum of understanding and experiencing a show, and people are going to be closer to each other on a spectrum. We're going to be all over the spectrum. Like none of us could be close at all. But the point is, it's like, I think it's cool that we have a platform here where we can kind of talk about it and just share honestly and openly.
Yeah, without getting mad at one another. And Chase is now, if you're listening to this on the podcast later, I've made Chase the host of the
at
show.
At least for Willow.
This episode. And made them very big so he can be positive.
But wait, what were you going to say?
Oh my God, Tet. I love this. I think Dorothy from Wizard of Oz is a Raylo. I am here for that. And
Tet also said that my Disney check is clearly a couple dollars higher than Brian's. Which made me laugh. We're not getting paid.
Yes, we're all stills here. We're all stills.
I wish I could apply to be a shill. I would love to get paid.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Except for patrons. Thank you, patrons.
So, yeah, the thing is, like, I fear, like, the fear that manifested with this episode was that the things that were kind of goofy about the show, they seem to be like taking up more space with this episode. Like, it seems to be like leaning into the goofiness a bit more. And like, there was at one point I was like staring at my screen and I'm thinking like, okay, this is definitely like they're trying to capture a teen audience. Like, they want like 13, 14 year olds watching this. This is who they're courting, you know?
And, oh, so I was right last week when I said that Bob Iger is back grooming the children. So now we're with our Willow on the Disney Plus and the books in the libraries.
But yeah, I just, like I said, I can't deal with the goofiness. Like, when I think about the, and like Chase mentioned, like about the way action scenes have traditionally played out in Willow, and you know, like in the movie, like I had talked about how I already felt like they were too long, and they're kind of and in the show, they're kind of nonsensical and weird. Like, you can't tell what's happening. It's almost like a Transformers movie where like so many things are happening that you can't figure out who's crashing into who and what is flying through the air, and you know what I mean? Like,
you did am I not wrong? Come in. You did not come in with Transformers, because first of all, okay, you can see it back there. I'm a Transformers fan, and you can see my Transformers poster in the background. Massive Beast Wars and Beast Machines fan. Very excited that this new Transformers movie is coming out with the Beast Machines and Optimus Primal. Yes, I know it's dumb. We also saw Cheetor. Very excited. But Jack, I had to watch not one, but two Transformers movies this weekend.
The Michael Bay ones?
He loves them. Oh,
okay. It's fine.
I'm like putting on good dad energy. I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah. No, Jack, this is great. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh God. Anyways, yes, you know what? Okay, I'm there. But I will say that this is far more charming than anything Michael Bay did.
Yes. Absolutely. I find it much more watchable.
And okay, we're going to go out of the negative stuff, because I want to talk about Graydon, because I love him. I don't know if people know he's a sorcerer or if he knows he's a sorcerer, but I am a little confused about his magic powers, but I love them. Like, I love how endearing this kid is, and that he's probably going to turn out to be the most powerful one out of that group, I'm guessing. But like, when after the fight scene, they go push their cart uphill somehow, and then they end up on a cliff with like the nothing from Neverending Story. Is he listening to those whispers in the wind, and that's
yes,
what he's
you can
reciting?
Hear the language that the giant cloud is speaking.
Okay, the nothing. Let's call it the nothing.
I just have to say, you guys, like, one thing that I loved about I'm Brian. I'm just gonna say this right now because it feels related somehow. Like, when they're fighting over which way they should go, and they're just naming a bunch of, like, random, like, fantasy-sounding names, like, that's incredible. Like, that is, like...
Oh, I love that.
But I think that there's a certain awareness to fantasy as a genre that carries through all the moments of even, like, him just, like, hearing a giant cloud whisper and he knows how to speak the language. Do you know what I mean? I think that awareness... is throughout the whole show, and not just in moments as obvious as I'm talking about the map, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no. I'm with you. Like, I will... it feels very much... I mean, I'm with M. I don't know if I loved this episode. I didn't hate this episode, but I don't know if I loved it. And so I'm trying to remain positive. I feel that this show, because the first two episodes I loved so much, and I can see the through line between those first two and this one. I'm with M that I feel like some of the nonsensicalness in the first two was kind of charming because it was kind of icing on the cake, and now it felt the nonsense was kind of the cake itself, and I'm not a huge fan of sugary cake. So I'm
poor Chase,
maybe.
We're not ganging up on you.
I find this conversation like incredibly stimulating. I like this kind of conversation. Yeah. So I'm good.
Yeah.
My question for you guys, well, first and foremost, I don't know if today was just a super sugary cake. I mean, I think a lot happened. I mean, a lot happened that was pretty deep, and I don't think it was just I think it had just as much, my personal opinion is that it has just as much playfulness as the first two episodes did, it just had less exposition and catching up to do between the movie and the show. So, but there's still just as much playfulness. But what I want to know is, like, what I find interesting about the all three of us talking about this is, like, I'm watching the show believing that it's genius in its simplicity, but there's also a lot to be talked about in terms of, like, well, is something genius or is it quote unquote bad writing or poorly executed story? You know what I mean? Like, there, and obviously there's no such thing as good or bad sort of execution of any art because it's all subjective, but it's interesting where I kind of lean with this show. I think it's, I really believe at my core that so much of that sort of, like, weirdness or I guess lack of, you know, what might feel like not a high quality choice or an effective choice, to me, I feel like there's a lot of intention behind that not being there. And I think that's what makes it brilliant. But it's interesting because it's like someone could come at me and be like, oh, well, you're just being really forgiving on the script, or you're being very forgiving on the editing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just feel like it's an interesting conversation to be had. Do you know what I mean?
Well, first of all, I think if anyone is really into anything, even Michael Bay Transformers, and you want to forgive it for its flaws, I think that's totally fine. Because if something at the end of the day just makes you feel good, let it make you feel good. That's totally fine. Like, I mean, a lot of people love Britney Spears, and let's be honest, like, her songs are not, like, super deep. They're like a good bop, and it's fun. And that's what her jam is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, and then, you know, but I do think the show, even tonight, is just a lot of fun. And I do love that in itself, because that is the very George Lucas thing for me. I feel like there was just some of this stuff. Maybe it was asking too much. Like, and in fairness, last week we had two episodes. We had 2 hours of this show, not just one. I don't know if I felt like we got a lot of weight halfway through this episode. I feel like the front half was a lot less important. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Because we get through, you know, Allura runs away. She figures out her way out. It just felt a lot of like, oh, we're going to run to the edge of the forest and then stop. Oh, we're going to fight for a minute and then stop. Oh, like, there was a lot of that was like, I found frustrating, because I felt like you could have done that in like 10, 15 minutes and not 30. But then we meet our lesbian lumberjacks, and the queers came in and saved the show, because everything after that point got really interesting to me. Like, I like Kit and Jade's whole, like Chase, last week you mentioned about, like, young queer youths, and that's very much what they're like. They're friends, but are they more than friends? Like, I don't even know if they know how to have that conversation yet, because they are both clearly love each other more than just friends, but don't know how to talk about it yet. And then we get to these other two lesbians who are, like, out there living their best life. These are real Trader Joe lesbians. Like, Vel from Aldani would hang out with them, and then they would quickly, like, bitch,
go back to Whole Foods.
go back to Whole Foods, because those are Birkenstocks. We're Teva lesbians. Like, we don't have the change. we don't have the change for Birkenstocks. but, like, they were really, I really loved everything. And I loved that this strange person comes up. We find out we're in, like, the scary woods, right? Nothing good's supposed to be happening in these scary woods. And here's these little lumberjack lesbians. And also, thank you, Chase, for taking the memo and wearing flannel with me. The part of the fairy is played by Emma, so we're all willowed out this evening. I love it. But they just accepted her, and, like, it was no big deal. They're just like, oh yeah, come on in, welcome, have some mushrooms. And I thought it was great. Like,
well,
I like the innocence of the world. Still,
I also think I cried. I hate to tell you guys this, but I cried when they were giving their speech to her, because they were like, she was like, of course I'm gonna, like, fight with you and for you and like follow you, because you're this person who represents hope and represent like represents the hope that anyone can do anything, which again is like so Willow. It's the whole point. And so it was so awesome to hear like this quote unquote random townsperson, not even townsperson, this random farmer that lives out in the middle of nowhere, has no allegiance to anyone, but knows about Elora Danan and knows about sort of like the legend that she is and is like destined to be. And how cool was it to just have like two queer characters, I mean queer coded, queer whatever, they're lesbians farmers, so to like have these two queer people talk about how important like to do the right thing. And she literally says, we don't choose violence, like that's not the way we want to do it, but we will do that if that's what we have to do. Like so much of it was so queer, and she was just saying like, we're gonna do what we can for you, because you represent people being able to just, we're all just the same, we're all just people, and we're gonna fight for that. And I was like, this is so powerful. It was everything about that was so queer and so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love that. It did feel very like they can be at Burning Man, which is not quite as, you know what? Actually, I'm going to say Flagstaff, because Flagstaff is a college town here up in the mountains. So they could be at Flagstaff Pride. It feels like a very Tiva wearing gay pride. They could go there, and they're probably, both those ladies are probably amazing flag twirlers. You know, the people that stand in the corner with their, and fling their flags around, but they aren't afraid to pull a brick out and throw it if they need to. Like clearly. And then that girl knew how to use that axe. She got a little cocky with herself, and innocence of, you mentioned last week, Chase, that we weren't really on in war yet. So like there is magic dying. Is that like the thing? Cause she was like, see, took him out, and then nope, they weren't around very long. There's a lot of dying in
this
episode.
There's a lot of death in this episode. And we're also learning about Willow, about his wife's death. And clearly he could have saved her, but didn't really know that he could at the time, or what. We don't know the full story yet. But and with his best friend, it was so sad. I was also going to say, it's kind of funny that like, I also feel like, I'm curious to know what character you guys relate to the most. Because Kit also says literally at the top of this episode, I don't like tails. And like Borman is like, okay, well, like, you know, I will say I didn't love the your generation lines. I don't like those. I don't like those. But regardless of the beginning of that line, it was just sort of this idea of like, well, it basically to me almost like you're not used to like, I don't know. Wait, let me focus myself. My question, I guess, more is like, Willow, the movie, was made in a very specific style. This show, to me, is like directly emulating that style and is like capturing that style in essence. But can stories like that in this style be told in 2022 without being boring or cringy? Or, I mean, I don't even know what words people who don't necessarily love this show would use to describe it. But like, does what I'm saying make sense? Like, if Willow was made today the way it was made then, it probably wouldn't do well. The reason it does well is because there's like a lot of nostalgia to it. But like with the show, it's made in the same, it's like the same exact energy, the same exact style. But I feel like it's the times are working against it, if that makes sense. I think that what we're used to in TV shows and the way we're used to stories being told in 2022 is pretty antithetical to the style of Willow. Do you agree with that or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
I totally get what you're saying. And I mean, it connects back to what I was saying about how it's like very traditional storytelling, right? And like very old school kind of, you know, serialized. Yeah. There are a lot of things about it that are dated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As Hope is saying.
Yeah, I feel like I like that about it. Honestly, I like that it is staying true to what it is, because I feel like it's doing it in a really wonderful way of honoring and respecting what came before. Not like, to bring a little bit of Star Wars into it, I love The Force Awakens, but I also, and I've said this many times, that I feel like there's a, and I could be completely wrong. This is what I'm projecting into The Force Awakens, of J.J. Abrams thinking he can, of course, obviously just replicate what came before because he kind of knows more than George Lucas did. Because George Lucas seems to get a lot of trash for not knowing how to write a story and like almost treated like Star Wars was a fluke and not that he was really talented. Like, oh, he just happened to make something great. And this show isn't talking down to the 80s vibe and the purity and the honesty and that hopefulness that you're loving so much in this show and in the original. And I feel like it's really honoring that. I do think at some point in time, especially if they're going to use lines like your generation, I think they're going to have to figure out how to make those two things mesh though. I do like, which I can ask you now, like, so we lose Boorman or Ballantyne, we lose Silas, we lose our lumberjacks. Like, we just lost a lot of people. Is this like, what are these kids who, you know, they're a big part of today's episode was Jade and Kit. And like Jade finally telling Kit, Kit's not as good as she thinks she is. And it's that very privileged princess lifestyle of, oh, I'm great. Not understanding that people sit below her who make her feel so super great. Like, now these kids are entering the real world. It's almost like some of, like, you know, like they're becoming adults because the adults around them are leaving. And what is that going to do? And Willow, at the same time, is learning that maybe his magic won't last forever, which could very easily be construed as a metaphor for his youth is leaving. And how is he going to bring that to other people? So is this show going to, like, does that make sense? Like, is this show going to eventually, like, 2022 meets 1988 in a way of Boorman and Willow meeting these kids where they're
That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. But as you were talking, I'm like, well, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, maybe as, you know, to bring American Horror Story into this, I don't know why. But, you know, as one Supreme rises, the other one falls. And maybe as Alora Dannon is becoming, you know, becoming a great sorcerer, maybe Willow's magic. I don't even know if Willow is a great sorcerer. I think the point of Willow is to not be a great sorcerer, but he knows how to use magic and he has the ability to do it. And he does it when he does it. You know what I mean? I think. But anyway, but I think that the magic that he has is dwindling. I think it'd be cool to see if his magic is dwindling as Alora is gaining her magic. Mm-hmm. And I think that'd be a really cool way to sort of hit on what you're speaking about, Brian.
I agree. Because, and you know, and this is like, Chase and I have a lot of these conversations in like our own personal time of like, queer generations and passing and learning from one another, and it'll be really interesting if the show starts to tackle that. Again, I'm telling you, I'm just stuck in my head about these books and schools because I listened to a couple of podcasts about it today. But I was listening to parents who, you know, I don't probably agree, but you know, if I want to put on devil's advocate hat, I can understand some parents wanting some of these books taken out of school. And then listening to the students who are saying, don't take our books away. This is our, you know, and parents saying, why isn't the school listening to what the parents want? But the parents also aren't listening to their students who are 16, 17 years old, who are, you know, young adults. And that is something that generations and older queers don't really listen to younger queers, and younger queers don't always listen to the older queers. And I do think this intergenerational conversation that could happen would be really, really great. And I think if anything that I'm getting from Alora is she's supposed to be this door, this vessel, this doorway to have bigger conversations to allow hopes and dreams to continue. And maybe that's kind of, she's that vessel to have that stuff happen, if that makes sense. And I'm with you. Willow seemed very powerful today. Were they just tricks? I don't know. But like, I'm with you, Chase. I think Willow works better when it's his belief in himself, and he inspires other people to believe in things happening that works.
I mean, he defeated the queen by doing a sleight of hand. Like, there was no magic.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 100%. And speaking of the queen, Bath Morda, was that her castle?
Yes.
Was that her castle?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the nothing floating overneath her castle. So maybe she created the nothing when she flip-floppity red vesseled her way up into the sky.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise known as banished herself to the underworld. Yeah.
Yes.
Did we know that from the movie, or did we learn that?
Well,
in this movie?
We learned it in the movie. I don't know. I think it might have been in discourse after the movie, but it is understood. Like, because I had that question going into the show, and I googled it. I think I googled it when I was watching the movie. I was like, okay, wait. So what? How did she just disappear? And I found wonderful, wonderful Willow nerds talking about how she actually reversed the curse onto herself. And I'm like, slay. It honestly, I also really would love to do a study between her and the Scarlet Witch, because the two of them really are sort of like destroyed by the magic they use. And it's interesting because Bav Morda, and they're both like mom, they're both mommy, they're both getting mommy. Mm-hmm. And like Bav Morda really gives, like, she really takes that to the grave, and like, really, it eats her to, like, even in the afterlife. But Scarlet Witch sort of sacrifices herself to do a better thing at the last second. I don't know. I just find those two characters interesting. And they're both, lots of reds, lots of black on their hands. Anyway, this is not a Marvel podcast.
Both wear pretty cool crowns.
Yes, exactly. Now we're talking. Yep.
I mean, Bav Morda does.
Nice. That crown is one of a kind. It is one of a kind. I need to shake whoever's hand that made that. It's an incredible design. Mm-hmm.
It really is pretty amazing. Okay.
Can I say one thing?
Go.
I just also want to kind of
say as many things as you want.
I also just want to talk about, like, listen, this is what I mean about, like, shows being made in 2022. Is like, arguably after the pandemic, we're all chronically online. I think after the pandemic, we spend more time online. We spend more time on our phones. And we spend more time thinking about, like, structures of corporations, of companies, of how things are made and all that kind of things. And it's like, I think it's just really easy to sort of look at a show like Willow and talk about it from a marketing perspective. And like, yes, like, fantasy is like coming back into fashion, and Disney does want to have like, there's a lot of truth to it. Like, Disney does want to have like a Lord of the Ringsy sort of thing. You know, Lucasfilm might want that, but that doesn't really it's not related to the product. Like, the fact that just someone wanted to green light this so that we can get this kind of content onto Disney Plus is not related to the product itself. Is not related to the content itself, because a whole team of people came together to make this thing outside of the boardrooms. Like, these people are on the ground and they're artists, like, making this thing. So I don't know, that just kind of, like, when people kind of like write any project off for that, I'm not saying anyone's done that, but I just mean, like, that's something that I'm also kind of like, I've been thinking a lot about, because I think in 2022 we're all very aware, I don't know, or we like to pretend that we're aware of why things are made, and we all like to pretend like we're on the inside of the company, and we all like to pretend like we're going to shame these people, we're going to not shame these people. It's all just very, there's so much like entitlement, which is the thing we've talked about a lot. But yeah, there's so much sort of like assumption of know-how and assumption of knowledge, but in reality, none of it's related. You know what I mean? And yeah, like, you know, the show is maybe geared for a younger audience, but so is the movie. Like, it's inherent to what it is. And I think as a creative person, I think what I find most exciting about this show is just the fact that, like, again, she knows who she is. Like, I find that so cool. I mean, that we get to live in a time where people are just making a sequel and knowing what it is. And I'm gonna end soon, but it drives me crazy when they make a Hocus Pocus sequel and they have no idea what Hocus Pocus is about, and they have no idea what Hocus Pocus even happens in the movie. And then they make a Disenchanted sequel, a sequel to Enchanted, and they know the world, and they understand. And like, this is just my opinion, but you can really, like, obviously Disney makes content to make money. Obviously, they're making a sequel because sequels are in. Obviously, nostalgia is in.
And also, it's okay to make content for money. Like, that is also, yes, it's okay.
Exactly, 100%. That's a great point. But the point is I just, I'm living for the show that, so no, it knows itself so well inward and outwards and is not willing to compromise just because we live in 2022. If anything, the only thing it's recontextualizing is gender and sexuality, which thank God they're doing that, and also race. So thank God they're doing that. So I don't know.
And I'm back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you enjoyed that little romp of, you know, what do we do from the 80s to now? How do we jive these two different storytelling decades and bridge that gap? And I do think Willow's doing a great job because it's definitely, as Chase said, Willow knows exactly what it is and leans into that and celebrates that. And I love that so much. It's probably one of the things, as you can see right back here, if you're watching the video, of the prequels of Star Wars. The prequels knew exactly what they were and it stuck with it. And I really appreciate that in any sort of art form, whether it's a movie, a novel, a comic, an album of music. When an artist has a vision and they stick with it, I think it's great. I think it's great. I like the exchange of viewer to artist, but, you know, sometimes I just want an artist to do what the artist wants to do, and I'm either there or I'm not, but I respect an artist doing what they do. So everyone behind Willow, I give a great deal of respect for knowing who they are, what they were doing, and had that mission and went for it. And honestly, like I said, I didn't love this particular episode, but the whole show in general is amazing. And a lot of it is because of the confidence of knowing what they do. So it's great. If you're feeling a little hairy today, look at this transition. It's really great. You know, this episode's been sponsored by Manscaped, so we appreciate it. Manscaped is a fantastic product for hair removal, a great trimmer that gives you no nicks. It's got a little flashlight. It's really amazing. It has a great little nose and ear trimmer that comes with this premium package that we have. And don't forget about deodorizers and toners. It's an all-in-one kit just for you and your balls. Or maybe you don't have balls, but, you know, you have other things that you want to keep nice and trim. I'm here for it. I'm sure Manscaped wouldn't mind. Let's just call it Peoplescaped here at Pink Milk. And if you're interested in Peoplescaped, head on over to manscaped.com and use code PINKBALLS for 20% off your purchase plus free shipping. It will help the show. And we appreciate it, Manscaped. Thanks for partnering up with us for this last several weeks and a few more to go. We appreciate it very, very, very much. And we really appreciate all of you listeners. So whether you're watching this on Spotify or you're listening to it on another podcatcher, thank you for coming. Thank you for streaming. Thank you for supporting Pink Milk. And heads up, in 2 weeks, we are going to take a vacation for the holidays. So December 14th is our last live stream. Then we will be gone. I think there'll be one more H&H after that, but we will be gone for a few weeks to celebrate, you know, the winter holidays and New Year's. It's going to be great. Very excited. We are going to be coming back in January with a whole lot of new stuff, some new looks, some new content, some new fresh ideas, and more for our patrons. So again, thank you so much, patrons of our Patreon. I really, really, really appreciate it. And we're going to be giving you some more perks for hanging out in the private club with us. So until next time, we'll see you in a week. And with that, let's drink up. Oh my God, I also forgot to tell you to follow us on socials. Even if you've been listening, you know where to do that. At Serving Pink Milk on Twitter, on Instagram. Soon to be TikTok, I promise. It's really going to start happening in January because we got to, right? We got to meet some new people. We got to meet some new people, and I'm not there. So maybe you youngsters are going to do it. So until next week, let's go.